going, what is that? Chris Morales? Never had it. Hey, Ramona, where are you? I was told
I'm not there. I'm waiting at security. I'm waiting at security. So I'm on my Comrex until I can get up the elevator.
Wait a minute. A woman of your stature cannot get past security at
ESPN?
No,
I have my badge, but apparently with the new heightened protocols here. This is the first time I've been back to the studio, but I had to run across and around the horn.
But your badge worked at TV, but it doesn't work at radio?
Yeah.
Do you have your credential?
See, Lindsay, everybody needs a credential. No, you got. See, if it was Mason or Michael, Ramona, you could just walk right in anywhere.
No, he knows me. He apologized. He feels bad, but he's got to do his job, so it's okay.
Yeah, Michael would say that his job would be just let anyone in that he recognizes. You know, so we'll see how it goes. Ramona is in for Mace, and we have breaking news, Ramona. I don't know how much you guys covered when you were taping over on TV, but there is something happening in Minnesota that everybody needs to know about. In the last 20 minutes, there has been an NBA game, an NHL game, and a Major League Baseball game all canceled in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And it's all because of another shooting over the weekend. And Ramona, I'll let you get in the elevator and come on up while I explain this. The video is incredibly disturbing. And coming off the heels of the same place where George Floyd died, all these sports officials are erring on the side of caution. The mayor of Minneapolis has issued a curfew to get everybody off the streets. So all the sports teams are following the lead of the mayor. There was a young man named Dante Wright who was pulled over for a traffic stop. He got scared. He got back into his car and tried to get away after the police had pulled him over, and the police shot him. And the police department released the video unedited. You can see it all play out. They are obviously concerned that on the heels of what happened with George Floyd, there could be a lot of trouble tonight in Minnesota, which is why they've put a curfew out. And I can't remember who said it, but I believe it was a pitcher for the Nationals right during the pandemic when the NBA shut down that said, sports are a reward for a functioning society. And clearly things are not functioning in Minneapolis. And so now, as a result of that, all of these sports leagues are on hold. Ironically, Brooklyn, who the Lakers beat Saturday night in Brooklyn, had flown to Minnesota yesterday and were scheduled to play at the Target Center tonight. It was supposed to be Nets T-Wolves tonight, but now that game will not happen. The baseball game won't happen. The hockey game won't happen. And Ramon, I'm never sure exactly what to say about these things, other than I think erring on the side of caution is probably smart.
You're right, John. And honestly, what happened, and that's actually what we were waiting for as we were taping around the horn, was are they going to cancel all the games? And I think that when everybody, you know, came up from the situation and they thought about this, you have to just respect who everything involved. Right now, the Derek Chauvin trial is going on in Minneapolis, right?
Right.
You know, this
and what
was
if
a-
that verdict was to come down and, you know, for by some way, Derek Chauvin was not convicted. And then on the heels of this Dante Wright tape, on the heels
yep.
of the George Floyd tape, you're dealing with a powder keg.
Yeah, you have to just be, it's never going to hurt you to take a breath, okay? We always say that about much lesser things, right? Like when you want to fire off an angry tweet, when you want to fire, you know, whatever it is. What's interesting, though, is in our society, it used to be a very rare thing for a sporting event to get canceled. Remember in Baltimore when after the Freddie Gray incident, they
right.
played it. They actually, the Orioles played. They just said no fans. So they still played the baseball game. And, you know, in the NFL, like one of the worst decisions, I think, to play a game, it was 2 days after, you know, JFK was murdered. Remember that?
Right.
Was assassinated. They played
yeah,
NFL
Rozelle,
games.
Before he died, yeah. said it was his greatest regret that they went ahead and played those games. And Ramona, you know, when you said they were considering canceling all the games, you know, obviously that hits up. We have a Laker game tonight on our air.
Oh, no, I don't mean all the NBA games. I mean all the games in Minneapolis tonight. And I think, you know, one of the things, like, the information is still coming out on that. On that shooting, I mean the police chief
the
came on. Yeah, the police chief came on and said the officer has said that she meant to fire the taser and grab the gun instead. And you could, in the body cam footage backs it up, but it doesn't change the fact that a 20-year-old is dead, and that's terrible. And it's a terrible tragedy for a city that's still reeling from the tragedies over the summer, the tragedy with George Floyd, and then all the people who. You know, protested it for weeks and months and lost their lives there too. I mean, this is a city that it reminds me a little of LA after the riots, right? You have to, you know, they canceled Laker games then. Remember, they canceled playoff games.
Right. And well, and here's another thing, you know, the NBA was incredibly proactive. Remember when that shooting happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and you know, the Milwaukee Bucks just wouldn't take the floor for a playoff game.
Yeah.
And then everybody else felt like they had to get the backs of the Bucks, and they basically shut down the league for 2 days.
Yep.
I think that if the NBA had not canceled this game, this Brooklyn at Minnesota game, and the Wolves would have taken it upon themselves not to play, that then you have a chain reaction situation like you had in the bubble.
Yeah.
And you put the other players into a situation where they feel like they need to do something. And all, you know, you can tell by the statement that the NBA released about 15 minutes ago that was part of their thinking here, that they didn't want anybody in Minnesota to have to decide whether or not they were going to play. Here's the statement. It said, the NBA announced today that in light of the tragic events in the Minneapolis area yesterday, tonight's game between the Nets and Timberwolves at Target Center has been postponed. The decision to postpone was made by the NBA after consultation with the Timberwolves organization and local and state officials. Our thoughts remain with the family and friends of Donte Wright during this difficult time. You can't be the group of people in Minnesota when they have a complete curfew lockdown that doesn't get it. You know, that says this doesn't apply to us. You can't be bigger than what the community is. And so the net result of this is no NBA game tonight. And strangely, Ramona, there were three teams in Minneapolis at home tonight.
Yeah.
If you've ever been, and I know, Ramona, you have, and I go, of course, twice a year. If you've ever been to the Target Center in Minneapolis, it's right in the heart of downtown. As a matter of fact, I tell people all the time that First Avenue, the club that made Prince famous, is directly across the street from the Target Center. And then right behind the Target Center is where the Twins play, is where the baseball field is. And downtown Minneapolis is connected with a series of balconies. The best way I can describe them is they're like habit trails. They built the city. If you picture, like, remember when you were a kid, you had those hamsters, and the hamster could go anywhere in this constructed habit trail. That's how Minneapolis is built, because it's so cold there. They don't want anyone to have to go outside when it's like below zero. So all of a sudden you have a situation where I've done this.
Yeah.
I've walked from my hotel to the Target Center, to the Vikings football stadium, all the way to the other side of town without ever setting foot outside. If you put crowds into that, even limited crowds because of the pandemic, but if you have a baseball crowd and a basketball crowd, all in, and this is, I'm talking in a square area of about three blocks. That's where the baseball stadium and where First Avenue, the music club, and where Target Center is. That's where all these places are located. If you were to put all those fans into that habit trail, Ramona, with a powder keg situation, it would be very easy for someone to cause trouble because it would be people jammed into a specific area. And so I think that the city and the leagues are doing the right thing. Now the question is, how long is this going to last? For example, Brooklyn and Minnesota, the T-Wolves and the Nets, could play tomorrow. Neither team has a game scheduled, but Brooklyn has another game scheduled Wednesday.
Yep. And I think this is one of those stories that is going to evolve. But I think they'll play tomorrow. That'd be my guess, is that this looks like this is a little different. Each case is different, right? I mean, the result is a horrible tragedy that everybody's dealing with. But this was the officer has admitted that she meant to fire a taser and fired her gun instead. I mean, it's horrible. It's this horrible accident, and it shouldn't have happened in the first place. But this isn't the George Floyd situation where we're literally watching a trial right now as we speak about what happened there.
Although I would come back at you with, again, this is a young black man, and you know, he was obviously scared. There was another video that came out over the weekend, Ramona, that was from back in December of a military veteran in Virginia that got pulled over. And it is just cringing to watch. These two young police officers are screaming at this guy to get out of his car, and he's completely composed. He has his hands in the air, and he says, "Can you tell me why you pulled me over?" And all they do is yell at him to get out of the car. And he's got his hands in the air. He goes, "I'm a military veteran. I don't want to put myself in a dangerous situation. Yep. Can you tell me why you're detaining me?" And these guys just yell and scream and overpower him. And it is as uncomfortable to watch. And I mean, it's got to stop at some point. And if you're a young African-American living in Minnesota, and you see this again, I can't imagine the level of frustration that would hit me. I mean, after all the protests and all of the demonstrations and everything that's happened in this country to try and put this on the front burner and explain to people that the police are mistreating young black men in Minnesota.
True.
It happens there. It happens there.
Well, I think it happens in America every day. And it's, you know, I remember what I was feeling last summer, which is I don't even know what it would be like if I was black and I got pulled over for speeding or talking on my cell phone violation. Like, how would it feel just to get pulled over? You don't know if this is going to turn into a deadly situation. How terrifying that would be.
You know, I've heard famous athletes, guys like Chris Paul, say, I tell my kids, and I've had this conversation with a lot of guys. You know, obviously I work for an NBA team, so I, you know, the majority of our players are black. They tell their kids, and it's a shame, that says that if the police pull you over, do exactly what they say. Don't resist. Don't do it. Even if you haven't done anything wrong. And you watch that tape of that guy in Virginia, and he's completely composed with his hands in the air, being completely reasonable, and these cops just overpower him. And I'm normally pro-police. I know a lot of police officers. Matter of fact, all the people that do Lakers security are off-duty LAPD guys. And so I've gotten to know a lot of them over the years, and a lot of great guys. It's an incredibly dangerous job, and not all law enforcement people are the same. But when this stuff happens on video, and people have seen it over and over and over again, and it just doesn't stop, obviously, they're going to be outraged. And that's why you saw this baseball game get canceled tonight, this basketball game, and this hockey game. Now, having said all that, we're going to do a normal show. We feel like we need to let you know what's going on in the world. If there's any changes with that, we will let you know. But as of right now, all sports canceled in Minneapolis. There has not been, to this point, a chain reaction like there was in the bubble, where other teams said, "We're out too." Right now, this is limited just to Minnesota, and everything else is going to get played, including the Lakers-Knicks game tonight in Madison Square Garden. We will focus on the Lakers and get back to sports and do what we normally do next. Ramona Shelburd's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Mason's on vacation again. Ramona, nice enough to fill in. Mason takes more vacation than anyone ever. But Ramona, over the weekend, for my money, that Laker win in Brooklyn on Saturday night was their most impressive win of the year.
Me too. Yeah, I agree.
126-101. They beat them by 25. They beat them without LeBron, without AD, without Kyle Kuzma, without Wes Matthews, all out with injuries. A season-high 8 Laker players scored in double figures, including all 5 starters. And although James Harden didn't play, both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving did. Kyrie got thrown out. We'll get to him in a minute. But Ramona, I think that served notice to the rest of the league that the Lakers are going to defend. They're going to play defense, and they're going to ball hawk you. And watching Andre Drummond, Drummond's final line was 20 points, 11 rebounds, and a steal and a block in 20 minutes. All right? So basically 20 points, he had 22 minutes total. 20 points, 11 rebounds, a block, and a steal. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when Drummond gets to play with LeBron and AD?
I mean, did you hear LaMarcus Aldridge after the game talking about defending Andre Drummond and how poorly he did at it?
Well, I don't think he can do it.
He basically said, I'm embarrassed at how bad I played. He made me look bad. And like, and LaMarcus Aldridge is like out for this next game here. he had to take the next game off.
Well, and by the way, so is Kyrie.
Yeah.
But now that game's been canceled. That was one of the games in Minnesota that got canceled tonight. So, but going back to Saturday, Talen Horton-Tucker had 14 points, a career-high 11 assists. Did you see his face light up when Kevin Durant tried to guard him?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, THT is not scared of anybody. And to me, that win served notice. It's kind of weird. If you listen to national people, we've got that clip last year of Rachel Nichols, Brian Windhorst, and Jackie McMullen all talking about how the Clippers were better than the Lakers.
I'm sure love it every time you play it.
Yeah, and that, you know, there's no way the Lakers are going to be able to match up with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are pivoting back to that again this year. The only guy that's like in the national spotlight, like you're based, I consider you a national person, but you're based in L.A., the only guy who doesn't back off of the Lakers is Zach Lowe.
Yep.
Everybody else basically says, oh, look out, the Clippers are better positioned, and now the Clippers have Rondo. Oh, now the Nets are better positioned to win the title. On paper, all that may be true, but it reminds me of what LeBron said when they won the title last year about wanting his damn respect. It's like everybody forgets that the Lakers are still the Lakers. They're not going to roll over and give up their title.
So the Lakers are the best defensive team in the league. And they were giving up. They had I love this Twitter account. It's called Stat Muse. You should follow them on Twitter if you don't.
Right.
Stat Muse tweeted after that game, the Lakers' defensive efficiency with LeBron and AD was 106 points a game. Without LeBron and AD, who are great defensive players.
AD might be the best defensive player in the league.
It's 105 a point game, 105 defensive efficiency a game. It went down. They're actually playing better defense now without LeBron and AD. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying here. This doesn't mean LeBron and AD are great defensively.
Right,
this means
opponents matter. Opponents matter,
but this is what Frank Vogel has been saying. I mean, you pop into his Zooms, you listen to his post game. He basically says, we don't have our two best guys. We've got to play great defense. This is how we have to win games. Everybody has to ball hawk. Everybody has to hustle. Everybody has to play good team defense, and they're finding it.
They just don't give up second shots. If you notice, every time the Nets got a shot, the Lakers grabbed the rebound. Drummond is a behemoth. He's just down there taking up so much space and grabbing every rebound and challenging every shot that, you know, people keep talking about how no one's going to beat Brooklyn if they have a healthy Kyrie, LeBron, and AD. Kyrie, LeBron, and
Harden.
Okay, so what you're telling me is the great offensive team is going to overmatch the great defensive team. Ramona, in the playoffs, isn't it normally the opposite?
Yeah. And look, who is going to guard LeBron?
Who's going to guard AD?
Like, every time I try to pick against the Lakers, you find a reason where you can talk yourself into some other team besides the Lakers winning. I go, wait, who's going to guard LeBron again? Who's going to guard Anthony Davis? Like every time. And I look at that Brooklyn game. Who did they have on Andre Drummond? LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, that's not going to work.
No.
If these teams meet in the finals, they've got to play DeAndre Jordan,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, he's had five straight DNPs, DeAndre Jordan. Okay?
Well, I think what Steve Nash is doing, and tell me if you agree, because mm-hmm. you and I both love Nash. I think what he's doing is he probably went to DeAndre and said, look, we got 20 games left.
Yeah.
I got to figure out what LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin can bring us. I'm going to play them for a month and figure out if they can. I'm coming back to you.
Yep.
But you got to take a back seat so I can get these guys minutes in the meantime. Don't you think it's something like
it's
that?
Something like that, but there's another level to it, and it involves the Lakers too. This is how you get guys on the buyout market, is that you promise them certain things. So I don't know what they promise Aldridge or Blake Griffin or whatever it is, but everyone thought Aldridge was signing with Miami, if you remember.
Right.
And he ends up going to Brooklyn, but I'm sure they both made similar type promises, or I don't know if you want to call them guarantees, but if you tell a guy you're going to come, if you come here, you're going to start, if you're going to come here, you're going to play 25 minutes, and then you don't do it, that hurts you later on because you didn't hold up your word. And I think they probably told Aldridge, you're going to get X amount of minutes, or you're going to be our start, you know, whatever it is. And that's why he's playing those minutes. But at some point, they will deviate from that. It will probably be in the playoffs if he just can't do it. I mean, DeAndre's a good defensive player. I actually think Nick Claxton might be a better option for them defensively.
Yeah, he played a little bit.
But he's small. I mean, do you think you can he stay with Andre Drummond?
Can he stay with Anthony Davis?
No,
no way.
No.
So for all you people writing off the Lakers because they've had injuries and they're going to have to come through the play-in tournament. By the way, I'm no longer... I'm worried. I think they could have to come through the play-in tournament, but
I'm less worried now.
I'm keeping a close eye on Dallas. Dallas blew a game last night, and now the Lakers are 3.5 games up on Dallas,
yep.
And that's the only team they need to stay ahead of. I don't care if they fall to 6 where Portland is, you know, but right now they're in the 5.
Mm-hmm.
If the season ended today, the Lakers would open the playoffs at Denver, which I think is a bad matchup for the Nuggets. We saw it last year in the West. The Nuggets are better with that Aaron Gordon trade. I like the move they made.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, yesterday the Nuggets gave up a 31-3 run at home to the Celtics.
Yep. And I mean, Jokic didn't even play at the last quarter or so.
I think Denver can beat the Lakers, and that's who they would open against. If they slid, by the way, Ramona.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Did you see who they start against?
The Clippers.
Yeah, and the Clippers are walking around like they're it. And what? I mean, okay. You know, you guys have never been out of the second round. And on paper, I know you have a really good team. But
I just want Lakers-Clippers once. Can we get this? I don't care what round it is.
We should have had it in the bubble.
Like, I just want it once. It'd be awesome if it was, like, first round, second round. I don't care what round it is. I just want to see it.
And tonight, the Lakers play the Knicks in New York. And no one is more obnoxious, unrealistic, and
there
really
might be a few, but he's pretty up there.
About the Knicks than our friend Ben Lyons. Ben... Now, keep in mind, the Knicks have not been in the playoffs for 8 years. And Ben still, when he texts me, calls me, leaves me messages, always ends with two words. Go Knicks. One time his sister, who's a chef,
okay.
His sister's name is Hannah. So she used to work at this restaurant. She doesn't work there anymore, but she used to work in this restaurant in Brooklyn
mm-hmm.
called St. Anselm. And so Ben knew I was going to Brooklyn, and he said, hey, here's my sister's number. If you want to try her restaurant, call her and she'll get you in. So I call her. She doesn't pick up. I leave her a message. I said, hi, Hannah. This is John. I'm Ben's friend. If you can get me in, I have an off night Saturday night. Would love to come try your restaurant. She calls me back. I've never met her, never talked to her. She goes, John, you and your wife are in. 8 o'clock Saturday night. See you then. Go Knicks.
Go Knicks.
So tonight, Ben is probably thinks the Knicks, by the way, are 500 now. They won again last night.
I got to say, we were talking about Coach of the Year the other day. I think Thibodeau is probably in the lead. Okay, Tibbs has done a great job there in New York. Frank Vogel, to me, has got to be in the conversation.
No, Monty Quinn
Williams.
Snyder?
Quinn Snyder, yeah. Okay, yes. They've had a good year, the best record in the league. Monty Williams in Phoenix, okay? But tonight, Frank Vogel, Tom Thibodeau, that's right up there for Coach of the Year, those two guys. They got to be top five.
Yeah, to me, if Quinn Snyder finishes with the best record in the West, mm-hmm. a conference with the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, and Suns, and Utah beats them all, then Quinn Snyder would get my vote. Do you have a vote? A coach
I have
of the
a
year
vote.
Vote.
And you know what? The other one is Doc Rivers in Philly.
If they beat Brooklyn, maybe. But
yeah,
not
whoever finishes atop the East, I mean, that's...
But you don't agree with me that if the Jazz finish number one in the West, that Snyder's the guy to beat?
I don't know. I'm not saying he didn't do a good job. They have a great record. They've had a great year. But I guess they're... What did they... They just got better from year to year? Like they
didn't get any new players, and all the other teams got better.
Yeah, and like okay. to me, the turnaround that we've seen in Phoenix, the turnaround we've seen in New York, in Philly. Philly was sixth last year in the East. Sixth.
Well, I know one guy will agree with you about New York, and that's Ben Lyons, who will join us next. By the way, only a two-hour show today. We got a lot to do. We're going to do all the regular stuff. We're going to do the scoop. I almost said the scoop. We're going to do Fast Track. We're going to do Radio Tinder. We're going to do Game of Games. Michael will be along at some point. And coming up next, world's biggest Knicks fan, Ben Lyons, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Ramona's in for Mace tonight. 4:30 tip, 3:00 pregame. The Lakers one trip to the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, to take on the Knicks. And the biggest Knicks fan I know is our buddy Ben Lyons, who looks forward to this game each and every year. And Ben joins us now. All right. So, are the Knicks this year, they're 27-27. Are they a good team or are they just a hot team?
John, Ramona, thank you so much for having me on the show. First off, my sister Hannah is now the head chef at the St. Anselm in Brooklyn.
Nice.
She runs the show.
Nice.
Thriving and surviving during COVID. Opened up a nice patio with some greenhouses. And if you need a table, just hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah, boy, and that place is great, Ben. That I didn't know. I know she left for a while, and so she came back to run it. That's awesome. All right, so tell me what you think.
Yeah, I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of her. John, Ramona, the Knicks are phenomenal. This team is overachieving. They are holding teams under 100 points constantly. The fact you're even mentioning other coaches as potential candidates, are you joking? Ramona, after ESPN failed to mention R.J. Barrett in the top 25 after 25, you have to give the award to Tibbs, or otherwise people are going to start to question the validity of the network.
All right, Ben, what makes you believe that the Knicks can win? I mean, I love Thibodeau. I think he's a great coach. I love R.J. Barrett. And Julius Randle, as I told you, Ben, is you're going to fall in love with him. He's like the greatest guy, and he balls out every single game. But can you win in spite of the owner?
John, there's something called heart, and this team has it. And every team in the NBA can actually learn from what's happening in New York, where if you just go out there and try, you put one foot in front of the other, and you move forward in life, magical things can happen. I'm going to read you a stat. There are 87 players in the NBA in the last 3 months who are averaging 15 points a game on 45% shooting from the three-point line, okay? There's one player who's doing that. It's R.J. Barrett. There are five guys in the NBA scoring 18 points a night on 42% shooting. Jokic, KD, Steph, Zach LaVine, and R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett can't legally drink alcohol in America for 2 more months. This team is special. I'm having so much fun. There's a guy named Alec Burks. Laker fans won't know who he is because he's been a marginal role player in the league for 9 years. But Alec Burks is a baller who's scoring 20 a night in consecutive games, like 5-6 games in a row. And my dad thinks he looks like his doorman Hector. So when I watch the games with my dad, he screams at the television, "Put in Hector! Give it to Hector! Hector's the best!" And honestly, Hector Alec Burks, you're a godsend. I have loved watching this man play basketball in his black sneakers every night this year. I'm having so much fun. Can you hear the joy? There's no expectations. We're playing with house money. We're on a bender, John, in Vegas. Let's see the sunrise.
So is this a bad time to ask what the Knicks record is?
They're 500, and it's after Easter, Ramona. Let's get a permit for a parade. What are you talking about?
All right, so, Ben, this is one thing I want to get to. I tell people all the time, even though the Knicks have stunk the entire time I've been a play-by-play guy, it's still probably my favorite place, road arena, to go to in the league. It just has an energy to it because of where it is in the city, because of kind of who shows up at games. Other than Staples Center, it's probably the best celebrity crowd in the league. You've been to more Knick games than anybody I know. The Lakers are going to be there tonight. I know there's going to be limited fans because of the pandemic. But describe to people that are going to watch this game or listen to this game tonight what it's like to go to a Knicks game and why it's different.
You feel like you're at the center of the universe. And here's a great reference to help you understand why in a lot of ways. So a big news story, of course, in the state of New York, that Governor Cuomo is now legalizing marijuana after many years of legislation and people trying to fight for this. So I'm watching the game last night, and Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier, who we're so lucky as Knicks fans to get to have, it just like Laker fans getting to have you and Michael on the call. It's really special, their friendship and chemistry. And Walt Clyde says, "I got to be honest, Mike, the sights and sounds have changed a little bit on my walk to the garden. I now pass Weed World on my way to the game." There's a place on 7th Avenue right outside the garden. And the reason I say this is just because there's a vibe now where it's no longer the stockbroker crowd who used to get all the great seats when the team was hot and all the Fashion Week people. It's now the kind of like working class Knicks fans getting a seat in the upper deck and socially distancing with other 2,000 fans who are, you know, getting down to the garden now in the center of the universe, passing Weed World. So it's a little rowdy in there right now. Some very funny chants. But when the garden opens back up and the world returns to some semblance of normalcy, it's because of that fact. You feel like you're at the center of the universe. And when the game gets out, you don't have to jump on the highway. You don't have to jump on some, you're not out. Remember, Ramona, all those NBA Finals games out at Oracle?
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere and you spill out in that parking lot. But in New York, boom, you're right in 7th Avenue, the heart of it all. So that energy that exists outside the building often heads inside the building, even when they play guys like Travis Ware and Jason Smith and Lou Amundsen for years.
I feel like such a jerk even bringing this up, okay, Ben, because I really am happy for you and I'm happy for Knicks fans. But
I'm having so much fun, Ramona.
Is it hard for you as a Knicks fan to see the Brooklyn Nets put a squad together like they have and be favored to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not win the whole thing?
No, it's such a reminder that the blood, sweat, and tears you put in as a fan pays off in the end. I always told this to Laker fans during the, whoa, really terrible 5 years of being bad you guys had to endure. That the idea that,
it's a
season of moments and you put in the work. I saw my father, the native New Yorker, who's the biggest Boston Red Sox fan in the world. As a kid, we'd go to games and the entire subway car to go to the Bronx and Yankee Stadium would chant, "Lion sucks. Lion sucks." And he has now 4 World Series. That makes me believe in there's a greater good in the world. And it's more than basketball. It's bigger than basketball. So is there going to be some 16-year-old kid in Brooklyn who's like, "Yes, we finally did it. I have such an emotional connection to Blake Griffin, who scored 2 points against the Lakers in 17 minutes. We finally did it."
Yeah,
no, they're not going to have that. So who cares?
Ben, you will be, and I'll be proud of you, you will be an emotional wreck
yes.
if the Knicks win a title in your lifetime. I just can't imagine. I've got to be around you if that ever happens. All right, last thing. What happens tonight?
Oh, the Knicks win by 20. Are you kidding
Whoa!
me? The Lakers, Yes, I'm sorry. Phil Handy was out of Carbone last night, and as the city's opening back up, you know, back, there's this great podcast called Shattered on The Athletic, and it's the story of the Knicks' demise, and it's the deep dive podcast, a lot like yours, Ramona, with Donald Sterling, which is so good, and it's such like a trailblazing moment in the audio industry. Congratulations again on that. But in this podcast, Chris Childs talks about how he was the guy who, when visiting teams, would come to town and say, hey, you want to go here? I'll send you to Jimmy Bronx. I'll send you to Tao, whatever, and set it up. And that was oftentimes played to the Knicks' advantage. The world's starting to open up again. New York City's got a vibe like Paris. Something tells me Kyle Kuzma's hitting the meatpacking districts for some brunch, and I think the Knicks are going to be okay today.
I think we're going to break your heart, but we'll see. Ben, thank you for doing this, man. I miss you. Talk to you soon.
Love you guys. RJ Barrett's a future Hall of Famer. Bye.
Oh, boy.
Here it comes.
I feel like such a jerk. I'm like, I got to ask the Nets question. I got to do that.
All right. Ramona, something happened last night in a baseball game that has put me over the edge, and I'm not so sure we shouldn't just get rid of replay. Completely get rid of it.
I might make you even madder.
All right.
Oh, I know where you're going to go.
We'll take calls on this coming up. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Have you just had it with replay? Ramona in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710-ESPN. Okay, Mason in Ireland. Ramona's in for Mace. We got Fast Track coming up for you at the top of the hour. We're only going 2 hours today. Leading you into Spock and the Jock. 3 o'clock pregame for Lakers. 4:30. Lakers and Knicks from Madison Square Garden. Their one trip to Madison Square Garden. Okay, Ramona, so last night, Sunday Night Baseball, game between the Phillies and the Braves. In the ninth inning, Philadelphia is trailing. They come from behind, and this was the play that ended the game. Go ahead and hit that, Jorge.
Against the southpaw, Will Smith. Didi pops that one into the opposite field. Ozuna's got it. Bohm's going to try it. Here he comes, and he's safe at the plate. Wow! On a shallow fly ball into left field, they roll the dice with Ozuna's arm, and Bohm is able to score on a bang-bang play at the plate.
Very aggressive base runner here by Bohm and the Phillies.
All right, so, Ramona, I've looked at this play probably 6 times. He never touches home plate. This guy never touches the plate, and the catcher tags him out. If you're going to have replay, they delayed the game, what would you say, 3 or 4 minutes?
Yeah, it was a long one.
And then, in real time, it was a very close play. But that's why you have replay. And I've argued for years, replay only works if you can do it quickly. This is an entertainment product. We don't want to delay everything in the NBA, in the NFL, in Major League Baseball. If they're going to look at it 5 times and then still get it wrong, why have replay? What do you think?
You know what? I watched it live, and then I watched some of the replays. And when I saw it live, I was like, man, he looks safe. Like, it looks like his foot gets in there, doesn't it? I mean, when you see the angle the umpire did.
He never touches
it. It feels like a neighborhood play. You know, like when they at second base, where it's sort of like, he's in the neighborhood. And they kind of allow that on when you're turning a double play. It felt like that. And it really did look like his foot got in there until you watched the really slow-mo replay. Even on those slow-mo replays, depending on the angle, I can't tell you 100% that his cleat didn't touch the white part of the base.
But like, Ramona, this is part of a bigger discussion.
Yeah.
You and I grew up, Michael played in a league that had no replay.
Michael's here, by the way. Can you hear him?
Yes.
He's eating.
He's putting away his lunch.
But and Michael has argued for years that what you should do is just put replay in the last 2 minutes. Now, if you go with Michael's plan, this play last night would have been reviewable. But it just goes to show you that they don't even get it right when they have replay. So why do we keep stopping the games, stopping the football games, stopping the baseball games, stopping the basketball games? I was the biggest proponent of replay on the radio. I said, look, we have the technology. It's stupid that we don't get it right. I've completely switched sides. Here's David in L.A. David, you're on 710 ESPN. What do you think?
Oh, thanks for having me, John. I think that you should leave replay in. I just think that you should take all the necessary time that you need to get the call right. They're rushing for whatever reason. That's what I think.
Well, wait a minute. You want more? You want longer delays?
Absolutely, because you're already stopping the game, so just take your time. Don't stop the game for 3 minutes just to get it wrong. Stop the game for 5 minutes to get it right. That's, you know, I get that these officials don't want to be embarrassed or whatever, but you gotta at least, it's more embarrassing to get the call wrong in 2 minutes and get blasted on the internet the next day than it is to spend 5 minutes getting the call right.
Right, but I'm surprised you don't want to. I mean, you would just put unlimited. It sounds like you're arguing for an unlimited time to figure it out.
I mean, listen, I'm a baseball fan. I spent 4 hours at an Angels game last week. I don't care. I don't care if the game is 10 minutes longer. Just get it right, you know?
All right, thanks, David, for the phone call. I
you know, in baseball, Ireland, they may go to replay, what, twice a game?
Right.
But in basketball, it's like three times every quarter.
Yeah, I don't, Michael. And they don't. You get it within 15 seconds.
Yeah. Takes so long. And by the way, they're back in the Secaucus or the replay center, either whether it's baseball or basketball or football. Why does it, is there someone there watching the monitor? Couldn't they tell right away as soon as the replay goes up within 15 seconds?
Ramona,
safe out.
Well, what they're
whatever.
Looking for is incontrovertible evidence that the call was wrong. So it's the same as in football, where if they get the call wrong on the field, you have to find indisputable evidence that they're wrong.
How did you survive your softball career without instant replay?
Yeah,
somehow you managed, didn't you?
I think he was safe. Like in the softball real-time world where the umpire's going to make that call, he looked safe to me.
Yeah, when you and I were athletes, we've survived without replay.
It evens
we're
out.
Fine.
It evens out. Jeez. Over the course of a game, over a season, like it's close. So what if it kind of touched it or it really touched it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it should matter, but it's...
In basketball, they give you 7 timeouts. Not in the NBA. It's more like 15 per team.
So many
replays.
It's crazy. Here's John in L.A. Hey, John, you're on 710 ESPN. What do you think?
Yeah, it's actually Josh, but that's okay.
Hey, Josh.
You're a good John. So, listen, it's not about the rules, guys. It's about the live betting. It's about what's winning in sports, which is being able to bet at any moment that you want. And that's why they stop the games as often as they do. It has nothing to do with getting calls right or wrong. It has to do with how much more action someone can get in a given moment.
All right, Josh.
That's what this is about.
Let's say that's true. Wasn't that always the case? Like when Michael was playing, there was no replay, but there was still a bunch of betting. I mean, betting's not going to stop if you get rid of replay.
When Michael was betting, it was less of a draw because
playing.
It wasn't mainstream.
Michael wasn't
betting.
It wasn't
on Disney. It wasn't on Disney. It wasn't in your face every moment of every day. This is what's changed the face of sports. This is why Ben Lyons is an amazing person to have on, because he's a Knicks fan no matter what. He's a Knicks fan no matter what. These are the fans that I think need to be channeled more in sports.
All right, Josh, thank you for the phone call. Michael, I really don't think we would miss it.
No.
I would trade 3 wrong calls for not stopping the game 3 times.
2 minutes or less, let's have replays or reviews. But up until then, let's play the game. Come on. This is ridiculous.
Ramona, if I put you in charge of the replay project, would you keep it as is, scale it back?
I like Michael's idea. I think it's good, and I also think we've made it so hard on referees with the 2-minute reports, with the review that they do of all these calls.
Yep.
What I've had referees tell me that they essentially, it's easier for them to make a call and then have the report come out later saying, oh, the call was wrong, than to not make a call at all. Like the idea being, well, I'll just call it and let them review it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, okay, I'll call it and then just let the guy in the booth with the slow-mo and the, you know, review it. And the truth is, like, when you grew up, like, Michael, we didn't have review. We didn't have replay. We just played.
Just played.
And sometimes we'd be like, that was a horrible call.
Right.
That was bad.
It happens.
But most of the time, it's pretty close.
Yep.
And what the umpires, unless they're in the wrong position, I thought the umpire was in an okay position. The problem with that play was the throw was offline. Like the catcher set up outside the baseline and the throw kind of comes inside.
Yeah.
And so he has to go, he should have thrown it where the catcher was set up.
Were all the replays that I play from above looking down? See, you had to be sort of worm level to see if his foot was off the plate.
Exactly.
You couldn't tell from the
overhead. And even
those
angles,
camera.
Like when I look at it from the behind the plate angle, he looks safe to me.
Yeah, looks fine.
Only when you look at it from above do you go, oh, maybe he didn't. But who's looking at it from above?
Yeah, right.
The umpire's not. He's not right there.
Yeah. It's amazing how Sandy Koufax and Bob Gibson, those guys, survived and played without replay.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think we would miss it. There'd be some missed calls, but like you say, Michael, for end-of-game situations, you keep it in. But I want, if I'm going to a play or a movie, can you imagine if they stopped the play or the movie for no reason for 5 minutes to figure out what the guy just said?
Right.
What the guy say right there? Everyone, it doesn't make any sense.
I know. It just drags out the games way too much. We're going crazy with his reviews.
All right. Coming up next is Fast Track. Michael, hang around for Fast Track. My first question you will like very much.
And I got a bone to pick with the Ramona.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
All right. We'll get to that, too.